20 years ago today, the Exxon Valdez oil tanker fetched up hard on some charted rocks in Prince William Sound. The impact ripped open the ship's hull, spilling millions of gallons of crude oil and fouling thousands of miles of coastline. The cleanup lasted for months, but the social and environmental devastation lingers to this day. Some use this tragic event to forge bonds that would last a lifetime. One such story happened in a place called Mars Cove, where a group of Homer residents organized an all-volunteer cleanup. KBBI's Casey Kelly has their story.
Mars Cove is like many beaches located on the outer coast of the Kenai Peninsula. Sitting in the shadows of the Kenai Mountains and tucked into the west arm of Port Dick, it looks out on Gore Point, a small rocky piece of coastline 200 miles south of where the Exxon Valdez ran aground. Billy Day remembers pulling in here 20 years ago.
The oil was about boot top, knee deep in here when I first came in here, splashing up on those rocks as the little rollers came in and moved it around. It was just like a deep layer of chocolate pudding on the surface of the water and splattering on up the upper beach and the cliffs.
Day had been working on the cleanup for about 2 months, patrolling the area in a small rubber boat looking for oil and dead birds. He'd grown frustrated by the poor response and the way in which it seemed to be more about making a show than making things whole again, as Exxon had promised. He'd developed his own rock washer, a mobile cart that moved around on the beach and allowed him to clean sections at a time. It was just a prototype, but it seemed to work pretty well. He'd shown it to an official from Exxon, but Day says he simply got a pat on the back and was told good work.
He got back in the helicopter with his cohorts and flew away, and I never heard from anybody again. I was still standing on the beach days later with the prototype. So that's about when I went back to town and decided we're just going to have to do this ourselves.
Ben Levine had also been working on the cleanup and, like Day, had grown increasingly disgusted by Exxon's response. At one point, he quit and went to his remote cabin in Kachemak Bay's Bear Cove. There, he planned to just get away from it all, that is, until one day when he realized that would be impossible.
And I looked down on my beach, and there were some tar balls just bobbing around and coming up, and I realized you're never going to get far enough away anymore. The world's changed, Alaska's changed, and you can't not be involved.
Levine took his skiff straight into Homer and found Day, who he'd worked with on the cleanup, and told him that he wanted to help out. Day had already started the Mars Cove project with a small group of volunteers. The beach was an afterthought for Exxon, which was focusing on beaches closer to the head of Port Dick, where there are a number of salmon spawning streams. Levine says what was unique was that the volunteers weren't interested in making money off the spill like so many on the cleanup. They really just wanted to make the place better again.
People would just show up, you know, out of nowhere, you know, people from Kansas and New York and Switzerland and Germany, all over the planet. Everybody was migrating here to see what it was all about. And a lot of these people just didn't want to get on the corporate cleanup.
By day, the crews would clean the beaches, and by night, they would hang out under a big Visqueen tent called the Crystal Palace, playing music, cooking food, and getting to know each other. Levine says they had some good times, but everyone was singularly focused on cleaning up the beach.
We took the beach apart piece by piece in grids from top all the way down to the fines, cleaned it, set it aside, protected it until we got further down the beach, and then put the clean rocks back. We worked our way all the way down that beach in that method.
Day says the whole idea was for the cleanup to have as little impact as possible on the environment. That meant that when they were done cleaning, they reseeded the beach with native flora and fauna that had somehow managed to survive on nearby beaches. They even used reusable rags instead of the absorbent pads that Exxon used once and then threw away.
We used the same set of rags for the entire job and were able to keep them clean. We'd throw them in the rock washer, high pressure wash them with hot water. Then we'd skim the oil off of that in the separator and reuse the rags the next day.
The result was a beach that Day says you could come back to 2 years later and find almost none of the lingering effects of the spill found in other oiled areas. 20 years after the fact, he's still impressed by what they accomplished here, but he says the point is that they never should have had to do it in the first place.
You cannot let it get out of its containment. No matter what, there's no way you can clean up an oil spill thoroughly.
Levine says he hopes that the anniversary of the spill will remind people of the lessons learned in Mars Cove, that there are things we can do to reduce our impact on the environment and prevent another Exxon Valdez from happening.
We can have alternative energy. Now there's wind and solar projects springing up everywhere you look. Now we're having the auto manufacturers worldwide scrambling to make hybrid and alternative and full electric cars. We can change it, and I want 324 to be remembered for that, just like we remember Mars.
Reporting from Mars Cove, I'm Casey Kelly.